Why don't you open your Bibles? Go to Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. It says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. And it says, the law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and settle disputes of many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. They will never train for war anymore. Well, guess what? There is coming a warless day. Many people want to talk about the things that comes end times. In the end times, I want to talk to you a little bit about end time from a biblical, the end times from a biblical, not necessarily a religious, but a biblical standpoint of several things that we can expect to happen in the end times if we prepare for the end times. All right. And it says that, listen, many will come to the house of the God of Jacob. The Bible says in the last day, he's going to pour out his spirit. We can expect several things that happen in the last days. Men will develop a hunger to know more about God. But for some strange reason, people are going to want to know more about Jesus in this last hour, in this last day. And it's up to the body of believers and it's up to the saints to be prepared and be ready to teach those that want to hear. We can expect it to happen. Everybody's talking about silly things that are going to go on in the last days. Well, I'm talking about biblical things because we're a part of that. Now it says, in the last day, many will come to the temple of the Lord, to the temple will be established. And it says, all nations, it says, the law will go out from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations. Why are we called nations church? Well, it says that God will judge between the nations. And whenever you see the word nations in the Bible, it's basically representing races. Write down the word races in your Bible. I'm going to let you know that something, that races and nations are part of the end day move of God. This last wave, you'll read your Bible, you'll read the book of Revelations, and you'll read many different things. And I want you to know, if you're going to be on God's army in the last day, you're going to be involved with nations, with different people groups. And it's, now, I've been reading different things, and you know there are people around, across our nation and across the world, they think that the end day is coming, and there's going to be some big old race war. Has anybody ever heard about that? Nobody wants to get in there. But if you study, if you look at the news today, if you look at culture, if you look at our culture, and if you look at current events, you could see the things that happened in this last election, that people were going to come up against each other, and you hear it all the time. I need to keep my gun. That one needs to keep their gun. Something's going to happen, and it's going to explode sooner or later. Because we got so much indifference between us. And no one wants to hear that, but I'm going to tell you what, in this day, in this hour, that is the spirit of the Antichrist. But the Bible says that in the last day, God will judge between the nations and will settle between nations. What does it mean? He's going to bring people together that wouldn't want to come together. Amen. So anyone that's teaching anything contrary to that, because we're going to, I discern in my spirit that we're going to be hearing all kind of weird, crazy, flaky stuff in this last day, and some of you are probably already hearing it. You have to go back to the Word of God to find out what the Bible says about things. But it's, you can expect in the Bible, it says, he will settle disputes for many peoples. And it said, nations will not want to go to war against nations where people couldn't get along. Now, it also says in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, say, in the last day, we can expect God to settle disputes between the nations and people to want to come into the revelation knowledge of God. So we can expect in the last day, people are going to want to know more about Jesus Christ. We can also expect, as the world is trying to go off, we shouldn't fear when we hear of the rumors of neo-Nazism and different weird things that go on. We shouldn't get caught up into that, because it says the Bible says. We trust in the Bible and not in the news or any other thing. The Bible says God will settle disputes and it will all be all right. We're going to be able to make it. But it also says in the last day, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. See, how many of you heard all the other things about the last day? You've heard about all the dragons and all the horses and all the horsemen and all the veils and all these different things. So all the things that are hard to interpret and really figure out. But these are specific things and very clear things that the Bible speaks about in the last day that the believer needs to have knowledge of. So that we can learn what we need to do in this last day to be effective in the world and to be effective in the body of Christ. It says, in the last day, I will pour out my spirit. There will be a Holy Ghost flow in the last day. There is a spirit of God. That means that we can expect more supernatural happenings than ever before. Because he said he was going to be pouring himself out in the last day. It is not a day. It is not a day when we're going to go back to human understanding and to traditionalism and religion. We're going to go off into the Spirit of God and into the move of God's grace. Someone said, I'm so tired of the charismatics. They get so emotional. I need to go on over and get with them, this group over here, because the charismatics, all they want to do is sing and shout and fall down. You know, I'm going to go get over with people that just, you know, these are people that are just right there. And I said, I tell you what, they may be able to deal with your head today. In your head today and in society today. But there's coming a day when just head knowledge won't cut it. There is coming a day, whether you believe, there is a God. And don't you know there are people that don't believe there's a devil either? There is a God and there is a devil. And there is coming a day when just your own human understanding is not going to be enough. You're going to need power of the Holy Ghost and power of God just to survive. You need the Holy Ghost. So there will be a great outpouring of the Spirit of God in the last day. And we should expect prophecy to come to fruition. We should expect people to dream dreams and see visions and to prophesy. Prophecy has not been done away with. The Bible says that I will do these things in the last day. That means not in the beginning days. This was going on in the beginning. But also in the end time, prophecy would be there. There will still be prophecies going forth in the last day. So we should expect that. Now also, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Go there. How many are glad to hear about the last days? How many are picking up some things about the last days that you've never really thought about before? It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Now this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontented, fierce, and despisers of those that are good. They will be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And it also says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. They're saying different people are going to manifest different things in the last day. And you can tell it's the last day. Here, well, you know, everything is not going to be peaches and cream. But you'll always have the victory. And perilous times means difficult times. You're going to experience difficult times in your life. We're going to experience difficult times in our ministry. Why? Some of the difficult things, see, we can handle the devil. He's not a problem because we have authority over the devil. But it gets difficult when some of the saints start to pick up some of these fruit. That is the difficulty. It says, it means difficult or dangerous times. When we see people manifesting this type of stuff in the church, it's a dangerous day. And we can see this throughout the body of Christ at large or as a whole. We can see these type of things happening. A dangerous day and a difficult day. It's difficult to do the thing that God wants you to do. And it's dangerous to walk in this fashion. What is it different when people become covetous? Now, we will be blessed, and it's God's heart that we would be blessed and filled with the Spirit of God and have abundance. God would have you be rich. But the covetous, I mean, they're going to be more concerned about money than anything. Money, 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 money. Some people just go to church because they can hear about money. That's all they think about, all they focus on. You know, there are people today that can't come to church and can't get into the things of God because they're so caught up in their business. All they think about, first rate, is money. They're in love with money. They're in love with wealth. And that's all they focus on. And that's the first thing in their life. And in our city, this is one of the strongholds that we deal with. People that are so money motivated. Money motivated. When we preach prosperity, man, they don't miss a service. When we start talking about how you can get rich in God, I mean, they're there every week. Church is packed. There's a covetous spirit. And there are covetous people. That means that people that are fond of money and fond of silver. I'm fond of what it can do, but not just of money. And it says blasphemers. The spirit of blasphemy. Well, what is the spirit of blasphemy that we can expect in the last day? Well, the spirit of blasphemy basically means they blaspheme the things of God and the people of God. That means they say whatever they want to say about men and women of God, say whatever they want to say about preachers, say whatever they want to say about moves of the Spirit, blasphemy. You can turn on the radio, and there are different ministers on the radio, and all they do through their whole broadcast, an hour straight, is rip somebody else's ministry apart, telling you what they're doing wrong and what they need to be doing. Blasphemy. It means to lose your piousness. We become irreverent, and we lose our sense of reverence that God desires us to have. That is the spirit of blasphemy. When you make yourself familiar. Now, we got some people here, thank God, that you can go to some church and you can learn some reverence from things. Notice that years ago, when you had a preacher, you called him reverend. You ever notice that? Anybody remember that? Somebody said, oh, that's tradition. No, that's good. Why? That means to be feared, because that person has an assignment of God on them. And today what happened is people has lost their sense of reverence. And they don't even realize it, but their attitude makes them blasphemous. Blasphemy is just not a confession of your mouth, it's an attitude of your heart. And there are a lot of people that sit in church day after day, week after week, service after service in a spirit of blasphemy. And we can expect that in perilous times, in dangerous times. It means clamorous, railing, always got something to say, always got something to complain about, always got something to judge. We can find something wrong with every denomination. We got Catholics in here tonight. Talk about a priest. They say that every priest has got this problem. All priests are this. Talking about people, talking about things of God. All preachers, you know, there are some groups of people that you get to, they say, the only thing church people do is want your money. Blasphemy. You had to be careful in the last day and how you work. And see, that is a work of the enemy. It's a last day work of the enemy where he's desensitized the body of Christ to reverence the things of God and the people of God. Dangerous days. It means that they will also be incontented, meaning without any form of self-control. They won't have any form of self-control according to the Word of God. There are people that have no sense of self-control. They know what to do. You know what? When you do something good and you do the right thing, what does God do for you? He blesses you. When you know something and you do something that's good and you follow in that thing, you're blessed. Well, if you're not blessed, what are you? You're either hot or cold. What's the opposite of a blessing? Right. Well, I heard somebody said, curse be anybody that knows to do the right thing or to do good and doeth it not. Think about it and pray about it. People wonder why they can't get a break and why they can't get out and why they can't. Why? Because they refuse to go through the window of opportunity, the window of blessing. That means that we will be without self-control. A person that is without self-control is a person that is powerless. That word incontinent means to be without any form of self-control. And it also means that person is absolutely powerless. They can't control their attitude. They can't control their emotions. They can't control anything. That means they are powerless to make any change. There are circumstances and situations that you're going to deal with on a day-to-day basis. You're going to be confronted with a bunch of junk. Anybody ever get confronted with junk? Stuff that you just got to deal with. Well, you got to deal with yourself and you got to control yourself. Say, I don't care what's coming my way. I'm going to walk through this with the right attitude and with the right spirit. And that is power. That you don't let anything come against you. That you don't let anything stop you. You don't let the threats of the devil stop you. You don't let the threats or fear of life stop you. You keep going no matter what. People will become incontented. That means they will be motivated by everything that goes. All the devil's got to do is rock your boat a little bit, then you quit. All the devil's got to do is rock your boat a little bit, then you get out and run back home. But in the last day, we're not going to have people like that. Saints won't be people like that. There are a bunch of people like that all the time, have no self-control whatsoever. The church won't grow. The church won't do anything. Why? Because people have become incontented. Something goes wrong, they're in a bad mood. That controls what they do and how they act. Take it or leave it, but you've got to know about the end times. Because there's a lot of end time teaching going on out there. And what we've done, we just went through the Bible and studied every reference of Scripture in regards to the end times. It also says in the end time we can expect this, traitors. But it says traitors you can expect in the end times. Traitors? Everybody say the word traitors. There's a big thing that we call a church. But within a church there's always a remnant. Within the church there's always a remnant. That's why Jesus is going to come and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's about to come and separate the sheep from the goats. And it means that they would forward into the enemy's camp. That means when we come into a city and we come here to do a work of God, you go there and you hear the Holy Ghost, you set yourself up to do something, and the Holy Ghost will reveal to you certain strongholds, certain principalities, and certain spirits that's got to come down. You might not understand, but they've got to come down. He'll reveal, he said, watch out for that spirit. That's a spirit that's holding back the kingdom of God from coming to fruition. Watch out for it. If it's religion, watch out for religion. If it's tradition, that means watch out for tradition. That could become your enemy. But it says that they will become traitors. Well, how do you trade? What does it mean? It means that, you know, that we are enemy. Those that follow Jesus Christ are an enemy to the world. That means the system of this world and the things of this world. Guess what? That is completely contrary to how we want to go and how we want to live. We don't live both ways. We don't have one foot on this side and the other foot on that side, you know, and try to work it together. It's all kingdom of God, or all the kingdom of the world. Either you live totally for God or totally not. And there, in the last days, the Bible says you'll have traitors. It means that people will set up in their mind, I'm going to follow God with all of my heart. I'm going to follow God with all my spirit. I'm going to do everything God's way. And as soon as the day gets rough, as soon as it looks greener on the other side, I'm just going to get over here with this group. I'm sick of this, and I'm sick of this stuff. And I'm going to go over there and find, I'm going to just jump the fence and get on the other side. Traitors! So in the last day, you can expect that spirit. Don't be surprised when you see it. Jesus had it in his ministry, didn't he? We're learning. Well, didn't he have, what was Judas? Judas was in there, Jesus was preaching and teaching, and everything that Jesus preached about, everything that Jesus taught about, he ministered. And he said, look out for the leaven of the Pharisees and the scribes and all this stuff. I'm telling you, they look religious. That's the system that used to be. It's the system that's coming down. It looks like it's gone, but it's not. Watch out for them. Get away from them. Don't hang with them. Don't talk to them. What did Judas do? He didn't trade and get off. He went over there with the ones that Jesus was teaching against and became what? Traitor. So it says in the last day you can expect that spirit to happen again and again and again. If God's delivered you out of something and given you a new name and given you a new hope, given you a new enlightenment of the things of God, of the ways of God, don't go back from what he's delivered you out of. Don't turn around. Don't become a traitor. It says turning over into the enemy's hands. The other thing it says that they will become high-minded. Means that people will get so conceited. So conceited. God can't bless them without them becoming high-minded. I did this myself. It was me that did this. Now I got it right. I got it all together. It's all me. All me. This is a sign when you see we deal with high-mindedness on a daily basis in ministry. Why won't you come? Because they think they got it all together. It's all the works of their hand. God had done something for them. And as soon as they get their life back together again, it's all them. I got it all together. I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the reins and control back to myself. That's the spirit of high-mindedness. You can expect that spirit in the last day. So you can expect God to move. Now go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. It says, also in the last days, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Circle the word scoffers. Walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. It says, in the last times, you'll have people that preach and teach and tell you how you can stay around here forever. They don't tell you how to go. They don't tell you that there's a new kingdom coming. They tell you how you can manage it all the way down here. So nothing's going to change. It will always be there. Well, we can see coffers teaching even now today. You turn on your TV, most of the teaching that you catch in ministry is nothing but scoffers teaching. How to build yourself a better life, how to build yourself a better way, how to survive, how to increase this, how to get along. You can't get without God. You can't get along with God. You can't make it without Jesus. There is coming a change. We're not going to tell you how to invest in this thing that's soon to end. Scoffers teach you, say, hey, nothing's going to change. The Son of God is not coming. They've been saying that from the beginning of time. There will be no return. But Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And scoffers teaching is anyone that preaches without the seasoning of the coming of the Lord on their teaching. That puts a weariness in us, or that puts a spirit in us that tells us to get ready. Some people comfort us to leave us where we are, but there are teachings that will motivate us to do what we have to do to go on to the next step. Scoffers teaching. It means a mocker. They make mockery of the things of God. Now again, turn right here. This is where we come in. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Now, how many of you have heard these things that we talked about in the last days, and you can see these things happening in the last day? We see this spirit in the last day. Well, this is what we can expect God to do with and through us in the last day. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with fire, with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. That is a powerful, charismatic scripture. And we can see this scripture fulfilled in the second chapter of Acts. He says God will give the people, the nations that speak many different languages, one language. This is where we're coming into the picture. This is what the church should be looking at. This is what we should be looking forward to. There has never been one language throughout all the earth that everybody can speak since the Tower of Babel. But today there is one language, and that is the language of the Holy Ghost, that God will pour out on his people. We know that this is the last day because in 1901 there was a revival where God birthed again the spirit of the prayer language. There is a supernatural Holy Spirit language available to every believer. One language. And we can find that out in Zephaniah chapter 3. And I prophesy and I speak to you that God has spoken something over our life. And I've never picked up the call on this level before, that God will be calling us out to go throughout all the world to share this one language. How would you like to go to India and have them speak the same language? You may speak a different tongue, but there is one language. We've been here in this room on Holy Ghost meetings, and we've prayed in the Holy Ghost, and I don't speak Spanish. But they've heard a speaking Spanish as we were praying in the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues. This is the language of God, that God is pouring out in the earth. And there it is in scripture again, right down. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 8. When they're asking why the church is speaking in tongues, Why do you need to speak in tongues? You got more scriptures than just Mark chapter 11. You got more than that. You got more scriptures than Mark chapter 16. But here is one scripture where God said that he will pour out one language over the nations. So we know that it's God's intent that we go and preach this gospel of Pentecost, that we go preach this gospel to all throughout all the world, that they might be speaking that one language. It says, I will turn to the people a pure language that they may call upon the name of the Lord. How many want to call upon the name of the Lord? Well, you can call upon the name of the Lord with that one and pure language to serve him with one consent. How many are looking forward to that? How many want to be a missionary? What an assignment. I mean, you can get out there and do more than build a hut. You can give them one pure language. And I'm prophesying by the Spirit of God, as the devil's trying to hinder us from doing what we're trying to do in this city, not only will we do what God wants us to do in this city, but we'll go throughout the world and teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you want to go out and do that? Just love to run over there to India, love to run to Pakistan, or to go to Africa someplace and say, God said that there'll be one pure language throughout all the world that the devil can't understand, that mankind won't be able to understand, but God's kingdom understands. It's the prayer of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That means that anybody that's not flaunting that spirit is not really doing what God wants them to do. You're out there wasting your time. Let's go on. To Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. We're going to go. These are the last days. These are perilous times. So we need to get off and do what God wants to do. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations. See, we have allowed our vision to get so small. We want to stick with the people that have already heard the gospel, have already torn up 10 churches. They're stuck with political races. And if I wasn't too careful, I would have got off in that mess too. Worried about this little stuff over here, our little town, our little city, amen. But God said, brother, get your head off that stuff and you get your mind on the nations. Don't get off into one little people group. Don't get off in just one country. Get your mindset that there's a whole world out there. Let's not close ourselves into just America. When we have that mindset, we're not in sync with the will of God or the mindset of God. God wants to get us to the nations. And I believe that's why before we even had a revelation of the name of our church, that he calls our church Nations Church. Because he wants to take us to the nations. He says, therefore wait ye upon me, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once a little while will I shake the heavens, I will shake the earth, I will shake the sea, and I will shake the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Wow. Now we've been hearing a lot of talk about glory. If you've been around Brother Rodney Howard Brown and we've been talking about the manifestation of the Holy Ghost and the great and mighty things of God, before glory, nations. Notice, before great glory, there is nations. He says he will shake the nations and then he will pour out his glory. Says the Lord of hosts, he says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. And it says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former house. I want you to get a vision and a picture of the latter house, of the end time house versus the beginning house or the starting house. The latter house is a house of many nations, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord. Turn to Zechariah chapter 2, verse 11. It says, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. Many nations. Say it one more time. Many nations. I'm here to tell you that we have had a messed up mindset in regard to what God's going to do in this final age. God wants to send us to the nations. We need to get a vision. When we see this last revival, let's not just see our little church building. Now I see many nations. Now I see many nations. Instead of wanting to travel over the Panther Creek, boy, I'm ready to go to Russia. Because God is after many nations. Say it one more time. Many nations. Get this in your spirit. God will take you places that you never thought. You should be excited about this. You should be excited about many nations and the opportunity to travel the world and do the will of God. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day and shall be my people. Throughout all of history and throughout all of the world, there has been nothing but violence. One nation trying to conquer another nation. One people trying to be greater than the other people. You know, we just can't. Nobody can get along. War everywhere you go. But Jesus came, he said, this is the only way that there'll be peace on earth. When Jesus came, he said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That means that he is the thing that can bring everybody together. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 22. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come and seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem to pray before the Lord. When is that going to happen? After the rapture? When can we expect that to happen? How many of you want to see many nations come to seek God? Many nations coming unto one place to seek the Lord God. How would you like to see China come to seek God? What a vision. I mean, we've lived in ourselves. Man, if we could just get to Woodlands, we'd be happy. Well, Woodlands going to come when the Woodlands come. But until then, let's go for many nations. Broaden your vision. Stretch out your tent stakes. But I believe that this is something that's going to go to many nations. And I can visualize, and not by us trying to do it in our own might. Man, you can go to India in 1 week, build a church of 50,000. All we got to do is preach the word and not close ourselves in, but stretch ourselves. Many nations are about to come to God. And I expect that revival. I'm not going to get in sync. Well, we're going to see revival through this land again. You don't deserve one. You've had four of them. You got churches. You ain't got no persecution. We want God to jump through the hoops again. There are some things out there. No man deserves to hear the gospel twice until everybody's heard it once. I'm ready for global revival. When I look at my Bible, I don't see any little small thing. What I've been trying to visualize, the little box I've been putting God through, it ain't in the Bible. I open my eyes, and when it talks about nations, it's talking about the world. I visualize and I foresee global revival. Global revival. And God is with us. The Bible is with us. And Scripture is with us. He said he would shake the nations and many nations would come to hear the Lord God. And all we need is somebody bold enough that loves the world, travel to get out there and do it. God is with you. God is still true, and this is going to get it on somebody, and I prophesy that many of you are going to be catching some planes to places you never thought you would be going. Amen. I'm not talking 10 and 15 years down the road. I'm talking right away. I believe, brother, you could go. I believe you could go. All you got to do is be willing and open-hearted and go out there and do something good for somebody. Go out there and shake a nation. Let's get on to the big stuff. Now, it says this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. You preachers and you people that are bored and need a vacation, you should be shouting by now. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And it said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto what? All nations. And then the end shall come. The last revival is a nation's revival. The gospel will be preached to all nations. And you need to visualize yourself. When you're visualizing yourself preaching, don't just visualize yourself preaching at Safeway. Don't just visualize yourself preaching at First Baptist. Don't just visualize yourself preaching here. But visualize yourself preaching to many nations. That's what the apostles did. That's what the disciples did. They preached to many nations. And it said, then the end shall come. Matthew 28, verse 19 said, go thee therefore and teach that group of people across town. You're about to get in on something. Said, go ye therefore and teach. Who?
All nations.
Bible says, go ye therefore and teach every race of people you can find. Go out and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. How many would love to do that? Mark chapter 11, verse 17. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called... See, this is one of the things that get me. See, we've been having people speak this thing, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Anybody ever heard that? My house shall be called a house of prayer. Anybody ever heard that? We need to be praying in the house. I tell you what, you're missing it. You're missing it. I mean, you see, the devil allowed you to have the scripture done. It says, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer. So if you don't have a house of all nations, it's not a house of prayer. That means if you got an all black church downtown praying, that's not what God wants. That means if you got an all white church here in the Woodlands praying, that's not what God's after. That means if you got an all Spanish American church down there praying, that's not what God's after. Just to have a bunch of people praying is not what God's looking about. He says a house of all nations praying. God wants to see churches with every nation under the sun in it, every people group under the sun in it, and everybody praying. Let's just not settle with somebody saying, now I lay me down to sleep, us four and no more. Of course you can get together. I mean, if that were the will of God, then every time we close our eyes to pray at a baseball game. Let's not settle for less. See, we were about to take the less. We can just get a bunch of people just like us and we all pray, we're all clapping, and we're all happy. But God's vision, he said, I want to see a house of all nations. This wall's got to come down. This wall's got to come down. The wall's got to come down. It's got to get better, and it will by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And that's when the world will know and America will know that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He said, when you love one another, that's when they'll know. We need to change our visualization. We need to change our mindset, and we need to change and program ourselves to the Word of God and to the full Scripture and not part of it. Nations. Say it one more time. Nations. One more time. Nations. It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And we need to program. And we are not going to be able to see. If you get careful, there's a spirit that's going around where people are trying to box us in. You know, and we thought just in America, if we whites and blacks could get along, we're doing good. And even that's boxed in. We got to think to cross ourselves and to cross the water to all of God's children and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every last one of them. Not just pin ourselves into the people we can relate to. There are people out there that we never thought we would ever know. It's going to change. It's not going to always be the way that it's been, where people spend their entire ministry life ministering to people just like them. That our scope of Christianity is all that we can deal with. That's close to our culture. That's going to change in this last wave of God's grace. And it says, my house shall be called a house of prayer of all nations, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Stealing. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. How many of you preachers are excited tonight? I tell you what, we can go after the old things. We can go after the old things, the things that everybody else has got. But why not hear the word of God and expand ourselves? And go for God. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. And have made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined that the times before appointed and the bonds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. We can expect, instead of separation in the body of Christ and division in the body of Christ, I tell you what, the world's not going to do it for us. Politics is not going to do it for us. The blood of Jesus will do it. Only Jesus will do it. And the Bible says that he is going to pour out one blood. I said, I'm more Christian than I'm black. And you better be the same way. You better be more saved than you are anything else. His blood runs through my veins. And I'm a part of the body of Christ, which is what God is talking about in this final hour. And in this final hour, nations, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must hear this. You must hear this. And have made of one blood all nations of men. Romans chapter 4 verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of Israel. Romans chapter 4 verse 17. And it says what there? Romans chapter 4 verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of Israel. I have made thee a father of America. I have made thee a father of Rome. Abraham was made a father of Jerusalem. Abraham was made a father of what? My God. See, it just started with the Jews. But he was made the father of many nations. He's got children out there everywhere. Glory to God. That means that, hey, you a part of those nations, Gavin? That means that's your dad. God made him the father of not just the Jew, but of many nations. It's a big family, a multicultural family that God is talking about. He's made them a father. He made him a father of India. He made him a father of Ethiopia. He made him a father of Japan. He made him a father of Africa. He made him a father of Europe. He made him a father of Mexico and of Spain. Say, he made him a father of many nations. And this thing of separatism, it's not the Holy Ghost. When you look through the book of Revelations, nations is all through that thing. When you look through the Bible, nations is all through that thing. So I tell you what, you saints of the Holy Ghost, this next wave of God's glory is going to have the saints traveling all throughout the world. You ready to go? You ready to go? I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of what? Not just his own seed, not just what could come out of his wife, but that he would become the father of many nations by faith. He's got a multicultural family. He's got kids with all different kind of names. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Let's go on. Revelation chapter 2 verse 26. There's some scriptures that are coming to life to the believer. That you're going to be able to see things a little bit differently than what you saw things before. Now in Revelation chapter 2 verse 26, the end times, the nations in the end time. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the what? Nations. You know what the Holy Ghost said to me about that? He said to that person that gets into my word like you're doing tonight, and you keep his commandments and follow the heart of God and you follow the Spirit of God, that means that God's going to give you authority over the nations. Does that mean you're going to put nations in slavery and in bondage? No. What is a minister but someone that holds authority? That means that as you do the word of God, as you do the will of God, God will send you to many nations with a spiritual anointing. See, authority is power. He said, I'll give you power over the nations if you keep my word and keep my commandments. That means I'll put an anointing on you and I'll send you to some other land with an anointing to make a difference. How many want power over the nations? You can go into a nation and do things that the president can't do. You're an ambassador of Christ. That means you carry more authority and more power. Power over the nations. I mean, we want to hear, oh, just talk about the old rugged cross. Glory to God. Talk about the old rugged cross. Or the water by the well. Hallelujah. Talk about some of that stuff. Glory to God. No, I'm talking about what God's about to do. Glory to God. Power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken as shivers. Even as I receive of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now listen, those of you that got a Holy Ghost ear to hear right now, listen to what the Spirit is trying to tell the church in this hour. This is the revelation that God has been speaking about. This is revelation knowledge that God's about to give the believer authority over the nation to step out there beyond these lines and these partitions. Don't nobody own the earth, but God. God God made the earth. He didn't make the earth. He said, I'm going to put China over here and draw a little line. That's what China will own. I'm going to put Russia over here. That's what Russia's going to own. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Man has put those lines and walls there. And in the final day, it's all going to come down. God will reign victoriously. It's all God's. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. After this, see, that's why those disciples went everywhere preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They didn't look at no line. They said one week he was over there in Ethiopia. Next week he'd be over there in Rome. One other week he'd be all over the place. They went everywhere preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They didn't see any lines. They didn't see any borders. Can't nobody keep you out where the gospel needs to go. It all belongs to God. The walls are coming down. They tried to tell us that you can't preach in China. You can't preach in China. We won't let you in. That wall's going to come down that the gospel might go forth. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne. And before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And of all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God. Revelation chapter 10, verse 11. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before what? Revelation chapter 10, verse 11. He said unto me, thou must prophesy again before what? Many people and what? Many nations and tongues and kings. Now, there was a prophetic word that went out from here. And we didn't understand the word. I didn't understand the word. It sounded kind of rough to me. And I heard the word, God about to put your lights out. And we didn't understand it. You know, anybody remember that? Revelation chapter 18, verse 23. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were great, were the great men of the earth. And by thy sorceries were all the nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets, and of the saints, and of all them that were slain upon the earth. That is a very hefty scripture. This thing that's trying to take the world, materialistic spirit, trying to rule the world, try to spread it all over the place, that's the candle that's about to go out. Say, thy merchants have been all over the world. We shouldn't have salesmen all over the world. We should have preachers all over the world. I mean, we shouldn't be doing our nice enterprise is nice, but the gospel needs to go out through all over the world. That's the job of America. We should be sending out 10 times more preachers than we send out internet salesmen. Our McDonald's are throughout all the world, but that candle's going to go out, that this nation will be known as a nation that sends forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, and not just our tradition, and not just what we hold to be society. They don't need our stuff, they need Jesus. That's the candle that we can expect to go out. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit, and a great chain around his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon and the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive what? The nations no more. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. God wants the nations, and the devil has deceived the nations. And God is very concerned about the deception of the nations. God wants the gospel to go forth clearly to the nations. And that's why the devil is thrown in the bottomless pit, that he would no longer deceive the nations. Till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. It's Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. Any of you seeing the nations? Are you starting to see the church to come? Are you starting to see what God's about to do in the earth today? Don't miss the heart of God. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there the tree of life. Anybody ever heard of the river of life? You ever heard of the river of life? And the tree of life? The river? And the tree of life. All right? Which bear manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves thereof were for the healing of what? The nations. The river of life and the tree of life is for the healing of the nations. Israel, the children of Israel messed up because they could not receive their ministry to be a blessing to the nations. Are you catching the revelation? God blessed them that they would be a blessing to others. That's what God wanted them to do. That's why they went into bondage. He blessed them and used them, and he wanted to set them up that they might preach the gospel to the nations. But instead of them affecting the nations, they had the nations affect them. Instead of them taking God to the nation, they wanted to trade and do all these other things. They missed their godly assignment. The river of life is for the nations, and the tree of life is for the nations. Many people, when they get revival, they want to take the revival to where the money is, where TV is. How can I get on TBN? How can I be popular? How can I get a big record deal? How can I get this with the river of God? Revival breaks around in Africa. And what do? They leave Africa and come over here to America. Everybody going to run to America. We've had four revivals. Get out there. Some nation ain't had none before. The river of life is for the nations. That means when this revival and this anointing breaks forth and this grace breaks forth, we've got to have the mindset that it's not just supposed to stay in one place. It needs to go throughout all the world. The river of life and the tree of life is for the nations. Don't let people spend you up. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb of God shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no more night, and they shall need no candle, neither light of sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever and ever. Anybody excited about the nations? Now you see, we've been talking about the nations tonight. You can't, the first thing that we started out when we talked about these perilous times, that people get off in covetousness and blaspheming traitors. They get all selfish, get all caught in the stupid stuff that don't, you know, we should have our mind on the nations. We can't think about the nations. We're too busy thinking about taxes. And it's not just one group, it's all of us that do this. The nations. My vision's bigger. My vision's bigger than just what he's going to do in this one little place. We can turn it around. No, we can go out to the nations. God wants to save the nations in this final hour. Don't get caught up into this small thing. Don't get caught up in the small thing. Don't let anybody put you in the box. Let God take you beyond this. Expect travel. Hear the voice of God and take it where it needs to go. Thank you, Father, for revealing this. Thank you, Father, for revealing this. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Keep it fresh in our hearts. Keep it fresh in our hearts. Keep it fresh in our hearts. Keep it fresh in our soul. Keep it fresh in our spirit. Open up doors. Open up windows. Open up avenues. Father God, open up a way that your will might be accomplished, Father God. Let us not get on anybody else's bandwagon. But let us get on your will and on the wings of your word and do what you told us to do, Father God. Just at your word, thank you for letting us in on it, Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, Father God, I pray that you would sharpen your people, that they would do the will of God. Father God, I pray that you would sharpen them, that they would not be selfish, Father God, but they would be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Lord, I thank you that we're not going to be playing games in this final hour, Holy Ghost. But Father God, there are people that hear your word that are going to go out in the love of God and do many great, mighty signs and wonders, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we understand, Father God, that in this last hour, that no weapon formed against us will be able to prosper. In Jesus' name, and every tongue that rises against us is condemned by the word of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, give us a love for people that we don't know, for cultures we don't understand. Father God, send us to nations where we don't even know the language. Oh, help us, Lord, and give us no fear, Father God. We'll be able to go when you say go, and to come back when you say come back, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Teach us how to pray for the nations, O God. Teach us how to pray for the nations, O God, in Jesus' name. Teach us how to pray for the nations, Father God, to get your vision. Break this brainwashing off of us, O God. Lord God, break the brainwash off of us, O God. Deliver us from evil in the name of Jesus, Father God. Purge our hearts, O God, our mentality and our mind, Father God. Hallelujah. Get us off of the bandwagon, O God. Hallelujah. And put us on your chariot, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.